This is the University of Cambridge Local Examination Syndicate International General Certificate of Secondary Education, November 1992 Examination in English as a Second Language. Paper 4, Listening Comprehension. Welcome to the exam. In a moment, your teacher is going to give out the question papers. When you get your paper, fill in your name, candidate number, and center number on the front page. Do not talk to anyone during the test. If you would like the tape to be louder, tell your teacher now. The tape will not be stopped while you are doing the test. The tape should now be stopped and the papers handed out. Now you're all ready, here is the test. Look at the questions for part one. There are 6 questions in this part of the exam. You will hear each question twice. For each question, you will hear the situation described as it is on your exam paper. Part 1. Questions 1 to 6. For questions 1 to 6, you will hear a series of short sentences. Answer each question on the line provided. Your answer should be as brief as possible. You will hear each question twice. Question 1. A traffic policeman is talking to a lorry driver. Why should the driver avoid the middle of town?
Yes, you can go straight through the town if you want, but there's a real problem with roadworks near the football stadium. If I were you, I'd take the bypass. Yes, you can go straight through the town if you want, but there's a real problem with roadworks near the football stadium. If I were you, I'd take the bypass.
Question 2. Your sister asks you to give your mother a message. What does your mother have to do?
Hey, listen. I have to go to a meeting now. Could you give Mum a message for me? Tell her the garage phoned. They said her car's ready and asked if she could collect it before 6 this evening. Hey, listen. I have to go to a meeting now. Could you give Mum a message for me? Tell her the garage phoned. They said her car's ready and asked if she could collect it before 6 this evening.
Question 3. You're waiting on a station platform and hear an announcement. Which train to Dover has been delayed?
British Rail apologise for the delay to passengers travelling on the 1503 to Dover. This is due to works on the line. This service will be running approximately 25 minutes late. British Rail apologise for the delay to passengers travelling on the 1503 to Dover. This is due to works on the line. This service will be running approximately 25 minutes late.
Question 4. An excursion is being arranged for the weekend. What do you have to hand in if you want to go?
Can anyone interested in going on Saturday's bus tour fill in this form and return it to me on Friday together with a $10 deposit? Anyone who forgets won't be able to go, so no late replies, please. Can anyone interested in going on Saturday's bus tour fill in this form and return it to me on Friday together with a $10 deposit. Anyone who forgets won't be able to go, so no late replies, please.
Question 5. You go to a bank to buy some foreign currency. How long will it take to get it?
I'm sorry, but you have to order foreign currency at this branch at least 3 days in advance. If you fill in this slip stating the currency and the amount, we should be able to get the money for you by Thursday afternoon. I'm sorry, but you have to order foreign currency at this branch at least 3 days in advance. If you fill in this slip stating the currency and the amount, we should be able to get the money for you by Thursday afternoon.
Question 6. You are listening to the weather forecast on the radio. Where will the weather be cooler?
In the southeast, it'll be warm and sunny with temperatures well above normal for the time of year, up to 21 degrees Celsius inland. Though on the coast, it'll be just that touch cooler, about 19 degrees Celsius, but pleasant for the time of year. In the southeast, it'll be warm and sunny with temperatures well above normal for the time of year, up to 21 degrees Celsius inland. Though on the coast, it'll be just that touch cooler, about 19 degrees Celsius, but pleasant for the time of year.
That is the last question in part one. In a moment, you will hear part two. Now look at part two. Exercise 1. Part 2. Exercise 1. Question 7. Listen to this teacher telling his students about the program for a weekend excursion. Complete the notes. You will hear what the teacher says twice.
Now, before we get on the coach, I want to run through the details of the program with you. We should be there by about 6-ish, and you'll have plenty of time to find your rooms, sort your things out, and so on, before we meet the local guide who'll be showing us around. Please be in the Green Lounge, it's easy to find, on the ground floor, by 7 at the latest. Okay? The guide will take us to the restaurant where we're having dinner. It's called the Golden Horse, and we'll go there at 8 o'clock. Try not to stay up too late talking on Friday night. We have a long and very full day on Saturday, starting with breakfast at 7:30 in the dining room of the hotel. It's a self-service buffet, so you should all be able to get enough to eat and be ready to leave at 8:30 prompt. We shall spend most of the morning in the Science Museum, but if you want to do some shopping, we'll pass through the main shopping area on our way to have lunch in the park. There's a very good cafe there, and our guide will have reserved seats for us for 12:30, so we can all eat together. We're booked into the sports centre for 2:40. We must arrive at that time as a group, but once inside you can choose whether to swim, play table tennis, or whatever. Make your own way back to the hotel. It's very close, and you'll have got your bearings by then. If you want to eat before the concert, dinner's at 6:30, and don't be late. I know it sounds very early, but we have to be at the concert hall by 7:30. These folk musicians are very popular, and the seats aren't numbered. After the concert, there's a firework display, which I'm assured will be most spectacular. On Sunday, you'll be relieved to hear, breakfast isn't till 9. Then we'll make our own way through the town for a leisurely boat trip. We'll have lunch during the trip and get back to the centre by 3, which will give us a couple of hours to look around the art gallery. At 5, we'll have some light refreshments at the hotel before boarding our coach to come back at 6. With luck, we should be back here by 9. Now, if you've any questions, perhaps you could have a word with me when I've finished checking.
Now you'll hear what the teacher says again.
Now, before we get on the coach, I want to run through the details of the program with you. We should be there by about 6-ish, and you'll have plenty of time to find your rooms, sort your things out, and so on, before we meet the local guide who'll be showing us around. Please be in the Green Lounge, it's easy to find, on the ground floor, by 7 at the latest. Okay? The guide will take us to the restaurant where we're having dinner. It's called the Golden Horse, and we'll go there at 8 o'clock. Try not to stay up too late talking on Friday night. We have a long and very full day on Saturday, starting with breakfast at 7:30 in the dining room of the hotel. It's a self-service buffet, so you should all be able to get enough to eat and be ready to leave at 8:30 prompt. We shall spend most of the morning in the Science Museum, but if you want to do some shopping, we'll pass through the main shopping area on our way to have lunch in the park. There's a very good cafe there, and our guide will have reserved seats for us for 12:30, so we can all eat together. We're booked into the sports centre for 2:40. We must arrive at that time as a group, but once inside you can choose whether to swim, play table tennis, or whatever. Make your own way back to the hotel. It's very close, and you'll have got your bearings by then. If you want to eat before the concert, dinner's at 6:30, and don't be late. I know it sounds very early, but we have to be at the concert hall by 7:30. These folk musicians are very popular, and the seats aren't numbered. After the concert, there's a firework display, which I'm assured will be most spectacular. On Sunday, you'll be relieved to hear, breakfast isn't till 9. Then we'll make our own way through the town for a leisurely boat trip. We'll have lunch during the trip and get back to the centre by 3, which will give us a couple of hours to look around the art gallery. At 5, we'll have some light refreshments at the hotel before boarding our coach to come back at 6. With luck, we should be back here by 9. Now, if you've any questions, perhaps you could have a word with me when I finish checking.
That is the end of exercise 1. In a moment, you'll hear exercise 2. Now look at the questions for part 2, exercise 2.
Exercise 2. Questions 8 and 9. A student is inquiring about accommodation he has seen advertised in the paper. Listen to the conversations and answer question 8 by putting a tick in the box next to those statements which are correct. Write your answer to question 9 in the space provided. You will hear the conversations twice.
Hello, I'm ringing about the house you're advertising.
Is it still available?
Yes, it is.
Could you give me some information about it? I mean, where exactly is it?
It's in Sewell Street, number 139.
How do you get to it from the centre of town?
Take the main road from the city centre and turn left at the petrol station.
How easy is it to get to the university from there?
Well, you'll find it quite straightforward. You can get any bus to the university because they all go along the main road. Buses run about every 20 minutes, but they stop after 6 in the evening. Or you can cycle on the main road, although it's not ideal because of so many lorries turning into the industrial complex. At some time in the future, there will be a cycle path along the river, but we're still waiting for that to be built. Cycling is probably quicker, as the buses have to make a detour to the new shopping precinct.
I see. So I shouldn't have any difficulty being on time for lectures. Can you tell me about the house itself?
Yes. There are 2 bedrooms, 1 double, 1 single. There's a small room off the double bedroom that could be used as a study, because there's a desk in there. Off the lounge is a kitchen with fitted cupboards. We used to provide a washing machine, but it was so unreliable that tenants now use the laundrette nearby.
What about heating?
The heating is by gas fire in the lounge, and there's an electric fire in each of the bedrooms. The rent is £345 per month, and all other costs are extra. The previous tenants paid about £30 a month for gas and electricity.
When could I see the house?
Well, my husband can show you around next Saturday at 3 o'clock.
Yes, that'll be fine. Thank you.
Saturday afternoon.
Thank you for showing me around, Mr. Williams. I'd like to take the house, if I may. Is there anything else I need to know?
Yes, we do have a few rules. If you want anyone else to move in with you, you need our agreement first, so we can get references and that sort of thing. When you want to leave, 2 months' notice in writing is required. And lastly, there is no deposit, but we ask for any damage to be paid for before leaving.
Oh, thank you. That seems quite reasonable, and so...
Now you will hear the conversations again.
Hello. I'm ringing about the house you're advertising. Is it still available?
Yes, it is.
Could you give me some information about it? I mean, where exactly is it?
It's in Sewell Street, number 139.
How do you get to it from the centre of town?
Take the main road from the city centre and turn left at the petrol station.
How easy is it to get to the university from there?
Well, you'll find it quite straightforward. You can get any bus to the university because they all go along the main road. Buses run about every 20 minutes, but they stop after 6 in the evening. Or you can cycle on the main road, although it's not ideal because of so many lorries turning into the industrial complex. At some time in the future, there will be a cycle path along the river, but we're still waiting for that to be built. Cycling is probably quicker, as the buses have to make a detour to the new shopping precinct.
I see. So I shouldn't have any difficulty being on time for lectures. Can you tell me about the house itself?
Yes. There are 2 bedrooms, 1 double, 1 single. There's a small room off the double bedroom that could be used as a study, because there's a desk in there. Off the lounge is a kitchen with fitted cupboards. We used to provide a washing machine, but it was so unreliable that tenants now use the laundrette nearby.
What about heating?
The heating is by gas fire in the lounge, and there's an electric fire in each of the bedrooms. The rent is £345 per month, and all other costs are extra. The previous tenants paid about £30 a month for gas and electricity.
When could I see the house?
Well, my husband can show you around next Saturday at 3 o'clock.
Yes, that'll be fine. Thank you.
Saturday afternoon.
Thank you for showing me around, Mr. Williams. I'd like to take the house, if I may. Is there anything else I need to know?
Yes, we do have a few rules. If you want anyone else to move in with you, you need our agreement first, so we can get references and that sort of thing. When you want to leave, 2 months' notice in writing is required. And lastly, there is no deposit, but we ask for any damage to be paid for before leaving.
Oh, thank you. That seems quite reasonable, and so, if I may...
That is the end of part two. In a moment, you will hear part three. Now look at the question for part three, exercise one.
Part 3, Exercise 1, Questions 10 to 14. Listen to this conversation between a mother and her son. Answer the questions in the spaces provided. You'll hear the conversation twice.
So, you've decided to give up your job, have you?
Well,
I hope you've thought it out properly and are sure you're making the right decision. You're not exactly experienced in the ways of the world. I take it you're going with Greg. What do his parents think about it?
They think it's a good idea for him to do a bit of travelling before he settles down with a regular job. You know, 9 to 5.
Do they now? Well, that's just the point, isn't it? Greg's only just left college, but you've been working at Courtauld's for nearly a year now. They won't take too kindly to you taking off at this stage, surely.
Listen, Mum, if I don't do this trip now, I'll never do it. It's not as though I'm using all that experience I got at art college. The job itself is quite boring, really.
Oh.
Not at all what they made it out to be. I want to produce my own designs, not spend all my time cataloguing other people's.
You're only a trainee, remember? Give it time.
Just think of all the ideas I'll get in India. Textile design really is an art out there. None of your mass-produced machine materials.
But where will it lead, Tom? Do be sensible. Even if you do manage to support yourself out there, what'll you do when you return?
Let the future take care of itself. No, actually, as you've brought it up, I have thought about that too. Though it'll depend on how I get on out there. There's this project, you see, reviving crafts in rural India, aimed at encouraging handicrafts in rural areas on a cooperative basis, and seeing that those involved get a fair price for their work.
All very noble, I'm sure, but...
Now, if I could get some idea of what they're doing in textiles and produce some work of my own with an Indian influence, I'd be in a good position to set up my own business when I get back, and perhaps... Who knows?
Okay. Okay. I admit it's a worthwhile, if somewhat far-fetched, venture. I'd obviously be wasting my time if I tried to talk you out of it.
Good. I'm glad you see it like that.
But how are you going to live when you get there?
Well, we thought we'd start off in Pakistan, as Greg's got an uncle in Karachi.
Oh.
And there's a village called Hala, about an hour from there, that's entirely devoted to crafts. Weaving, pottery, wood turning, block printing on fabric, the whole lot.
I see. Then what?
We'll make our way by bus to Lahore and cross into India from there. We might do some hill walking in Kashmir, and then get a rail pass to Delhi for a month.
A month?
Yes. We plan to do quite a bit of travelling by night. That'll save on accommodation. Once we reach Kerala in the south, we can spend a bit of time with Rajiv's family. You know Rajiv. He's a friend of Greg's.
Mm.
He might even come with us if we can persuade him to. He could put us in touch with one of those rural cooperatives I was telling you about. His cousin's involved in a similar venture.
Mm.
Anyway... For the rest of the time, I'm sure we'll be able to find somewhere cheap to stay. Don't worry. We've both saved enough to survive for several months. And if we run out of money, we'll just have to cut short the trip. We'll book open return flights, so that shouldn't be any problem.
Well, you seem to have it all planned anyway. When are you thinking of setting off?
Oh, not for a few weeks yet. I'll need time to work out my notice first and get the necessary paperwork and inoculations done.
I see. Well, good luck. I only hope you've made the right decision.
I'm sure we have. Don't lose any sleep over it, Mum. It'll be all right.
Now you will hear the conversation again.
So, you've decided to give up your job, have you?
Well,
I hope you've thought it out properly and are sure you're making the right decision. You're not exactly experienced in the ways of the world. I take it you're going with Greg. What do his parents think about it?
They think it's a good idea for him to do a bit of travelling before he settles down with a regular job. You know, 9 to 5.
Do they now? Well, that's just the point, isn't it? Greg's only just left college, but you've been working at Courtauld's for nearly a year now. They won't take too kindly to you taking off at this stage, surely.
Listen, Mum, if I don't do this trip now, I'll never do it. It's not as though I'm using all that experience I got at art college. The job itself is quite boring, really.
Oh.
Not at all what they made it out to be. I want to produce my own designs, not spend all my time cataloguing other people's.
You're only a trainee, remember? Give it time.
Just think of all the ideas I'll get in India. Textile design really is an art out there. None of your mass-produced machine materials.
But where will it lead, Tom? Do be sensible. Even if you do manage to support yourself out there, what'll you do when you return?
Let the future take care of itself. No, actually, as you've brought it up, I have thought about that, too. Though it'll depend on how I get on out there. There's this project, you see, Reviving Crafts in Rural India, aimed at encouraging handicrafts in rural areas on a cooperative basis, and seeing that those involved get a fair price for their work.
All very noble, I'm sure, but...
Now, if I could get some idea of what they're doing in textiles, and produce some work of my own with an Indian influence... I'd be in a good position to set up my own business when I get back, and perhaps, who knows?
Okay. Okay. I admit it's a worthwhile, if somewhat far-fetched, venture. I'd obviously be wasting my time if I tried to talk you out of it.
Good. I'm glad you see it like that.
But how are you going to live when you get there?
Well, we thought we'd start off in Pakistan, as Greg's got an uncle in Karachi...
Oh.
And there's a village called Hala, about an hour from there, that's entirely devoted to crafts. Weaving, pottery, wood turning, block printing on fabric, the whole lot.
I see. Then what?
We'll make our way by bus to Lahore and cross into India from there. We might do some hill walking in Kashmir and then get a rail pass to Delhi for a month.
A month?
Yes. We plan to do quite a bit of travelling by night. That'll save on accommodation. Once we reach Kerala in the south, we can spend a bit of time with Rajiv's family. You know Rajiv. He's a friend of Greg's.
Mm.
He might even come with us if we can persuade him to. He could put us in touch with one of those rural cooperatives I was telling you about. His cousin's involved in a similar venture.
Mm.
Anyway, for the rest of the time, I'm sure we'll be able to find somewhere cheap to stay. Don't worry. We've both saved enough to survive for several months. And if we run out of money, we'll just have to cut short the trip. We'll book open return flights, so that shouldn't be any problem.
Well, you seem to have it all planned anyway. When are you thinking of setting off?
Oh, not for a few weeks yet. I'll need time to work out my notice first and get the necessary paperwork and inoculations done.
I see. Well, good luck. I only hope you've made the right decision.
I'm sure we have. Don't lose any sleep over it, Mum. It'll be all right.
That is the end of exercise one. In a moment, you will hear exercise two. Now look at the questions for part three, exercise two.
Exercise two. Questions 15 to 18. Listen to the following talk about the history of cocaine. Answer the questions in the spaces provided. You'll hear the talk twice.
In the late 20th century, when we think of cocaine, we usually see it as a very serious problem for individuals and for societies. We think of the pathetic twilight world of addicts and their decline into crime to pay for their habit. We think of the rich dealers who usually manage to evade capture and punishment, and of those they employ who end up serving long prison sentences or worse. But what do we actually know about cocaine? It'll perhaps surprise many people to learn that the South American Indians have been using cocaine-containing substances for over 3,000 years to help combat tiredness and hunger. Not the potent modern varieties of the drug, of course, nor do they inject, sniff, or smoke it as 20th century abusers do. Coca leaves, from which cocaine is extracted, grow wild in the Andes Mountains, and the local people traditionally chew them, keeping a small store of leaves in their mouths for a day at a time to release the drug slowly when they feel they need it. The human body absorbs cocaine and can continue to operate physically and mentally when tired. It was used in this way before Europeans arrived in America and introduced horses. All messages had to be carried by human runners, and in the mountains, where the low levels of oxygen lead to rapid exhaustion, coca leaves helped messengers to cover great distances quickly without frequent stops for rests and meals. Archaeologists have discovered pottery many centuries old which shows figures chewing and storing coca leaves. And we know that the coca plant was also used during religious ceremonies and burials, as it was considered to be a gift from the gods. When Europeans began to travel to America, early settlers, often Christian missionaries, tried to stop the Indians using coca leaves, believing that the practice prevented their conversion to Christianity. The arrogant invaders soon changed their minds, however, when they realized that the Indians, by now their slaves, could do far more work in the gold and silver mines if they were stimulated by the use of coca. It even became a practice to pay the Indians in coca leaves for their work, and the Spaniards even began to cultivate coca plants rather than use those that grew wild. Other naturally occurring substances like tea, coffee, and tobacco were seen to have a short-term stimulating effect on the brain, though not as great as that of coca leaves. All these substances were exported to Europe, but while the others became popular, coca use did not. The leaves deteriorated during the voyage, probably due to the warm, damp conditions on board ship, and traders soon abandoned the attempt to sell the leaves and the chewing habit in Europe. It wasn't until the mid-19th century that coca leaves were